looks like we might have to do another show.
This young man who's with us is the recipient of the J. Albert Bean Libertarian Young Creative Thinkers Award. Guys, we're very excited to have Nick Fuentes with us in the house. Nick, how you been?
I'm good, yeah, great to be with you.
Excellent. Is the fucking air conditioning on for a reason? Let's actually make it louder. Let's make it louder in post.
We are Ronald McDonald.
Our allegiance is to truth and justice.
N-word thinking.
You are now banned from the computer.
From a FEMA fridge full of cursed condiments, the only broadcast still operating under the 1983 Emergency Continuity Act, this is the Sam Hyde Show. Tonight, don't watch in the school computer lab. It's Nick Fuentes.
This episode is brought to you by Hale. Is that the actual brand name? The microphone cradle is by Hale?
Hale.
Hale what?
It's just Hale.
It's never just Hale. We know this. It's never just a simple Hale. Guys, welcome back to the Sam Hyde Show. Very proud to present Nick Fuentes. Fresh off his Candace Owens interview. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, I had a lot of fun.
I had to stop listening at about an hour because she was yapping so much.
Yeah, it's really more like an interrogation.
She was coming after. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know what her problem is. It's another narcissistic black woman, pretty typical.
Come on, Candace, what's going on over there, buddy? So what's going on in the world, man? What's new with you?
I mean, we got the war with Iran. We have the Epstein files.
I've heard from some pretty high-up sources that this might be million-dimensional chess. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, Trump has not lost cat turd yet, so I think there still might be a chance.
Yeah.
Oh, I think this is an epic crash out. I think it's over. This is Zognold Blumpf and the final stand. I'm afraid of what's going to happen next. I think he's going to turn the cannons on us now.
You think Trump's going to go after the alt-right?
I do. I do. I think it's over. I think it's been over.
The entire world is sexually blackmailed by Mossad. Do mainstream people know this?
I think so. The name's Epstein, so it's kind of hard to ignore.
Regular people know about Epstein.
Well, it was absolutely blatant. You know, he goes to jail for sex trafficking, dies mysteriously. The cameras were turned off. Nobody was there. I actually just discovered this last week. Bill Barr was the attorney general when he killed himself. That means he was overseeing the federal prison that Epstein was detained in.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Bill Barr's father was the principal of the school that Jeffrey Epstein worked at in the 1970s?
Oh, my God.
Jeffrey Epstein was hired by Bill Barr's dad at the Dalton School in 1974. And then his son, Bill Barr, oversaw the detention facility that he died at. So it's just beyond parody. And it became a meme. You know, Epstein didn't kill himself. The meme should have been the Jews killed Epstein to keep him shut, you know, because it's like, well, who killed him then? It just does a show you get one side or the other. If you get the left, you get George Soros. If you get the right, you get Jeff Epstein in Israel. So
it's nice how that story came full circle, though. It's a generational thing. We were talking about people in the CIA, some of them wanting to push war with China. Why would people want this? Why is it like a thing that anybody would push for?
You have three real countries in the Middle East. You have Turkey, Egypt, and Iran. Everything else is basically a construct. Everything else is fake. Egypt and Turkey have been pro-Israel for 50 and 80 years each. Iran's the only major country that still opposes them in the region. So the Jews want a war with Iran because that's basically the last opponent. China, for obvious reasons.
That sounds kind of badass.
It is.
I got chills when you said it's they're the last opponent. Made me think I was watching some badass action movie.
So that's why they want a war with Iran. They want a war with China. Elements in the U.S. want that because they're going to be the next great competitor. They're going to be the next great power competitor. But I don't mind them, actually. I think the Chinese are all right.
I'm just thinking, what would you need to go to war with somebody if they're going to be a competitor?
No,
does
not necessarily.
Does it necessitate bombing and going to war? I'm just thinking what many great leaders have thought for thousands of years, Ryan.
When are you not thinking like many great leaders?
Indeed. Anyway,
It's a shame that it crackles when you're just doing your most comfortable movements.
Well, I have to break it in here. I don't have time to break it in when I'm not on the show.
Is that regular leather?
This is Indian goat leather for real.
Okay.
We're doing an ad read, right?
Yes.
Let's start this ad read right with a little copyright free music. What's up, YouTube? Today we're promoing a great product. Thanks for this royalty-free music. All right, let's see what guests we have to appease today. They didn't fire us? Guys, I tell everybody that I'm associated, did they pay for the premium video package? No? Okay, run it on the B cam there. I tell everybody I'm associated with, take as much as you can of stiff lip sucks. I mean sucks. When I want to be healthy and protect my heart, I pack my lip with 300 milligrams of caffeine! That's, in my opinion, a normal amount of caffeine that everybody needs for their daily vitamins. It's simple science. Let me show you on the whiteboard. Here at Stiff Lips, do we even have any of their crap?
We don't.
We don't. We ran out of, hold on, let's get good audio here. Now, we've run out of Stiff Lips sups because they're so effective, so efficacious, scientifically backed, clinically studied and proven, that we use them all the time. Oh my God! That's sacrilegious. And they put God in lowercase. This is a slight morale improvement that is trademarked. I'm not even. It's one of those things where there's no way out. There's no way to make it funny or interesting. There's no way to come out on top with this ad. Stiff lip sups.
Stiff lip sups.
Was the military hard? Aww. Did your friend die? No. You better get some energy. When I was over in Iraq, Mosul, I used the SIG 441. That gun, people are saying now that it's got automated discharge.
That's because of improper handling techniques. I use a SIG 441 all the time.
Freeze!
That's my friend. I almost shot my friend at the range.
So I couldn't take the edge. Couldn't take it anymore. Fireworks, 4th of July.
Bang!
Oh, is there a dog barking? Help! 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 I'm a shoot! Stiff Lip Sups is gonna get you back on top. Your lady cheated on you? They all do! Welcome to the party, pal! Guys, promo code SAM for 10% off all orders. Stifflipsups.com. I'll see you there as I'm buying it.
I might put it back on later.
Just throw it on over top the shoulders.
Atop the blazer, yeah. Tie it around the waist like Raven.
Tie it around the waist.
The fuck? Are these? Whose are these?
Oh, nice.
I bought those at a gas station. So they're the world's.
You like buying stuff at gas stations?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I always think it's fun. So we're on the road a lot. They always have knives and crazy cool shit you can just flip around and throw. I got in Arizona, an alien Area 51 driver's license, but it was like irregularly long, so it didn't fit in the card slot. So I had to make a special exception and put it where the money goes in the wallet. So now I just have this extra card in my wallet that's like Area 51 alien. It's like I'm an alien. So the cop pulls me over and I say, "Here you go, officer. I'm a fucking alien." All right.
I posited that maybe it's a different shape because, like, it's from outer space. It's like it's not the standard card shape. It's
they use from different, a different. Yeah, yeah.
It's a Mercurian standard.
They're still with rectangles. They're still fine with rectangles, but it's different specs. Yeah, exactly. So listen, my viewers are not as educated as your viewers, all right? We need to know what else is going on. So the U.S., we want war with Iran because they're the last opponent. That sounds badass. Okay, I'm going to give the devil his due here. We want war with China because they're a possible competitor.
Well, they just did the big, beautiful bill that just got through Congress. They're cutting the corporate tax rate again, extending the corporate tax cut. And to pay for it, they're cutting Medicaid by $900 billion, which I think is like great politics. You know, taking away healthcare to pay for corporate tax cuts is a real winner.
That's funny, yeah.
Well, and it's like, this is just so classic. Every year, people vote for fewer immigrants. People vote because we hate seeing like Venezuelans peddling candy bars on the street. Uh-huh. And every year we just get tax cuts, get a corporate tax cut and like a $1 trillion defense budget and more wars for Israel. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what was in the bill. And well, here's the best part. They allocated $150 billion for border, for ICE and deportations and for the border. And then the same day that the bill passed, Trump got into a rally and said, we're not going to do mass deportations anymore.
So, beautiful.
Well, what's the money for then? And then they told us the week later, the deportations are now for citizens that criticize Israel. That's the new memo from the DOJ. They're going to revoke citizenship of people that criticize Israel and then deport them to Libya and Africa.
I remember when they were deporting people for being pro-Palestine, people on, was it student visas?
Yep.
So people who were, listen, we don't want Arabs in this country, but they were in this country legally here to study. And they were being deported because they were critical of Israel. And I saw a lot of people on the right sort of cheering that, like they didn't understand why that might be a bad thing. So what, they're going to deport who now?
Citizens. They're revoking the citizenship.
How does that work? What does that mean?
So if you're a naturalized citizen, meaning you attain it after you're born in another country, you come here, get your citizenship. They say the top five priorities of the DOJ this year will be revoking naturalized citizenship from anybody that is a threat to Israel or criticizes Israel.
Holy shit.
That's the new move.
Do you think that Rosie O'Donnell's a test run for a straight up citizen? She was born in America.
She was.
And Trump was saying that, like, it's probably like the test subject. If everybody hates Rosie, so we're going to deport her. And then everybody's going to be like, yeah. And then now you've opened that door to make that possible. And then we're gone.
Did they deport Rosie?
Not yet.
He said we should look into it. He said we're going to look into it very strongly. You know, it's kind of funny because people are voting for tyranny. You know, people are voting for like mass deportations, going door to door, arresting people, going after the media. But we're just getting like Jewish tyranny. We're getting that, but like for Israel. We're like deporting people that criticize Israel, going to war for Israel, deporting people that hate Israel, shutting down Harvard because they hate Israel. And it's like, we just kind of got the wrong flavor. So it's like right idea, just directionally not pointed at the right thing here.
They got to know what they're doing, though, because they're attracting all that attention to, you know, this anti-Israel hate. They've got to understand that it's going to come full circle and people are going to be like, wait a minute, maybe not liking Israel is super justified, right? Like, that's going to bite them in the butt.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're just going to kill us all. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay, interesting.
Peter Thiel has like an enemies list of like 2 million people in Palantir.
Yeah.
And Palantir came in on the heels of Doge. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk brought Doge in to every department, to the IRS, the Treasury Department, education, the rest of it. And everyone that worked in Doge had also worked for Palantir. And so when Doge left, the Palantir people stayed. And what they're doing now is they're creating a master database that has your education records, health records, tax records, the Treasury Department's records, and they're going to be in one giant searchable database for this administration with a $150 billion budget for ICE that wants to take citizenship from people that criticize Israel. And that's what people voted for when they voted for Trump.
What is Palantir? Can you explain what this is a little bit?
Palantir is a CIA cutout. So in 2001, after 9/11, they created this it's basically artificial intelligence or an algorithm to interpret these vast amounts of data. The intelligence community takes all this massive amounts of data, emails, phone calls, text messages. Palantir interprets all of it into insights that are usable by law enforcement. And so in 2001, after 9/11, they took what was a CIA program and they just effectively privatized it to bypass the Constitution. You know, the Constitution protects people's privacy, but a private company doesn't have to play by the same rules.
So 2001, you're saying that there were the CIA was spying on people and collecting all this data, and then to get around public oversight, they sort of transferred this into a private company?
Right. So Palantir is a firm that creates usable insights based on vast amounts of data. It's a private entity to circumvent the Constitution. They're founded in 2001. Until 2008, they only worked for the CIA. And the CIA actually provided startup money through their venture capital arm, InQtel. So they provided all the money for it, and they created all the products. So Peter Thiel, Alex Karp, Joe Lonsdale, they were at Langley, Virginia, at the CIA headquarters, making everything for the CIA as a so-called contractor. And then after that, they branched out into everything. So they identified the Capitol rioters on January 6th. They were identifying who wasn't vaccinated in 2021.
What were they doing with people that weren't vaccinated?
Just to identify contact tracing, who had COVID and who was spreading it to everybody using Bluetooth, and then identifying then who wasn't vaccinated for the purpose of these vaccine passports. You know, in states like New York or in New York City, they wouldn't let people into restaurants if they didn't have the vaccine. So this was going to be like they wanted to identify everybody that didn't have the card.
Yeah.
Using Bluetooth, you said?
That's for identifying who has COVID.
Interesting.
Because if you got COVID and you tested positive, they would look at your phone and your phone has Bluetooth and they'd see all the other phones that touched it. So they can identify everybody that might have COVID. That's the contact tracing. It's basically just like what Ted Kaczynski warned about. This is the classic panopticon surveillance state. And so Palantir was founded by Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel funds all the new right projects. You know, in 2022, he was the single largest individual donor in the cycle. So he put $30 million behind J.D. Vance, Blake Masters.
Why does he look greasy?
Well, he's a gay man. I think that has a lot to do with it. So,
there's a certain amount of grease that comes along with the lifestyle.
Yeah, a lot of lubricant, a lot of lubricating.
Why is it all over his face when he's doing public appearances?
Peter Thiel has funded Sovereign House, Passage Press, Bronze Age Pervert, Claremont Institute. And then, of course, our vice president, J.D. Vance, was his protege for his entire career. So Vance is Peter Thiel's guy on the inside.
Where does Thiel come from? Was he around in 2001?
He was. And he came from PayPal.
What was he doing?
So he had just, around that time, created PayPal with Elon Musk.
At that point, when they're doing PayPal, is this something that's linked to intelligence yet, or is he sort of solo?
Most likely, yes, because of the nature of what PayPal is, which is a peer-to-peer payment system. So it's deeply in touch with the financial industry and state regulations. The real connection to intelligence is that he comes from Stanford University. That was his origin story. He founded the Stanford Review at Stanford University with money from Irving Kristol.
What's that, like the school paper?
Yes.
Who's Irving Kristol?
Irving Kristol's the godfather of neoconservatism. So he invented the neocons. He's a Jew, former communist who became a conservative after the Soviet Union backed Israel's enemies.
Peter Thiel, I almost said Peter Steele. He should change his name. He started the school newspaper with money from the godfather of neoconservatism?
Yes.
Okay, continue.
So he takes money from Irving Kristol to start this paper. And you have to understand that, like, where all these conservatives come from is they're effectively groomed by the CIA out of college. Every major conservative thinker, influencer, basically from the 1950s on, was groomed by what was called the Congress for Cultural Freedom, which is a project of the CIA.
This is the KKK.
So, no, I know we're talking about serious stuff, so I tried to hold it in. So this was a while ago this happened, but you said the godfather of neoconservatism. And all I could think was like, you know, the godfather's going, so you're telling me you don't support Israel? That's all I could think of. And I'm just, and my brain just like, shut up. Don't say
no,
that.
No, please interject with humor. You're saying that every major conservative figure comes from this Congress of what?
Congress for Cultural Freedom.
Congress for Cultural Freedom.
So they're all, in a word, they're all being groomed. All of these like conservative intellectuals that are writing these books, people like William F. Buckley, And many of the anti-communists are all being groomed out of college by the CIA to be a conservative counterweight to left-wing communism in America, because the CIA is deeply worried about communism spreading in the United States and elsewhere. So Peter Thiel tracks with this pattern where Irving Kristol's one of them.
So back in the 60s or 70s or whatever, they would have been doing this to combat communism.
Right.
And then it's, at some point, something goes wrong.
I wouldn't say it went wrong. It's more like the CIA was always in bed with Israeli intelligence. So under the aegis of fighting communism, what they're really doing is combating anti-Semitism at the exact same time. So these people are being groomed by the CIA, which happens to be an institution that's totally infiltrated by Israel.
When was the CIA infiltrated by Israel?
From the very start, from its very inception. And the reason being is because the CIA was formed out of wartime intelligence during World War II. Obviously, we needed intelligence about the Axis, you know, the Nazis, the Italians. And so when the Allies invaded Italy, what was coming through Italy were a lot of Jewish refugees fleeing the Holocaust, fleeing the persecution by the Germans. And so how did the Allies get intelligence about the Germans? We talked to the Jews that were fleeing Germany. And so our entire intelligence network from Germany, and even from Russia, for that matter, from Poland, all these Jews that were fleeing these countries came from Jewish refugees, essentially. So when the CIA was founded, it was basically made up. All the human sources were Jewish refugees leaving Italy and then going to Israel. And then the next big step is that we were, of course, fighting the Soviet Union. When the Cold War starts in the 1950s, we have to know everything about the Soviet Union, but we know nothing because an iron curtain has descended. We have no sources that are on the inside. We have no idea what's going on. But there are some people leaving the Soviet Union, and it's Jews that are leaving the Soviet Union to go to Israel. So we say, how do we know the secrets about the Soviet Union? Let's interview the Soviet Jews that flee to Israel. In order to get access to those people, we have to make a deal with Israel. And we effectively say, well, we will help your fledgling state if you give us information about the Soviet Union. And so basically a deal was made. This is how they got their nuclear program. This is what was revealed in the JFK files earlier in the year, that James Angleton, who was running the Israel desk in the 50s and 60s and 70s, he, under the table, was providing Israel with nuclear secrets to get access to their Soviet emigres so we could learn more about the Soviet Union.
Now, you said James Angleton.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if you showed that guy the future? Hey, James, I want to show you something real quick. It's a glimpse into the future. This is what you did? That's really funny. Okay, so CIA formation. They're infiltrated from the very beginning, mm-hmm. because they wanted access to Russian emigres.
Mm-hmm.
The Congress for Confederate?
Cultural freedom.
Cultural freedom. Okay, so tell me about this, the CCF, we'll call it, because I forgot what it was.
Yeah. So the CIA starts to basically support a lot of conservative radio publications, intellectuals, because these guys are all making the case that the Soviet Union is evil.
It sounds like PragerU.
Sorry, yeah, exactly. That's what it is. Yeah, it is PragerU. It's like proto-PragerU.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically all of the famous anti-communist conservatives of the 50s, 60s, and 70s, maybe the most prominent being William F. Buckley, they were being funded under the table by the CIA. Their papers, radio, TV, their scholarships, they were all funded through what were called cutouts, NGOs, various projects, one of them being the Congress for Cultural Freedom. And that's because the CIA wanted to create in Europe and in the United States this intellectual case against communism. Then you fast forward to the 80s, and Irving Kristol, the godfather of neoconservatism, he's one of these guys, by the way, who's getting money from the CIA. He starts up a group with a number of other Jews, and they start seeding money for student newspapers at all the top schools.
Damn.
Stanford, Dartmouth, UChicago. And some of the most famous conservatives today got that money. And that is how they got their start. They started these student newspapers, they start writing for them, and then they climb up the ladder doing commentary, doing broadcasting, and now these are like the biggest hosts at Fox News. Like one of the ones, for example, was Dinesh D'Souza.
Just to interrupt you here, usually when someone interrupts it, like just to something good, I'm like, just to interrupt you here. This does sound like a good idea.
Yeah.
Like I kind of want to just go start up some student
newspapers. It's like spy fiction. It's cool.
It might be able to monetize this at some point. We should start student newspapers. How much does it even cost? Also, they're good at getting like a bang for their buck, you know, with like local. Like they realize you need like Soros, you fund like the local guys, you just get more. Like what does it cost? Like $2,500 to, you know, turn some neighborhood into a shit show. How much does a student newspaper? It's like $375.
That could be our next big endeavor. That is pretty cool.
Yeah. So look, these guys. So the guys that got their start up the commentary, public figure speaker ladder with the student newspaper track. Like at what point are they compromised in the sense that they're subsuming their values and their journalistic integrity to whatever? What money? Is that what it is?
They're convinced that working for the CIA or intelligence is patriotic. I think that they're convinced that they're with the so-called good guys, the good faction inside intelligence that is sort of, you know, ideologically aligned with us. To tell you the truth, a lot of them are marginal types from the beginning. Somebody like Peter Thiel.
What do you mean marginal?
So he's a gay man.
Yeah.
Gay people are typically marginal. Or, you know, a lot of them are Jewish. Jewish people are marginal also.
When you say marginal, you mean not like core person type? They're
right.
Like on the fringes?
Absolutely.
Okay. So they're like an outsider. They're more willing to listen, to accept like weird kind of ideas. Is that what you mean?
Well, weird ideas, and, you know, they might be able to be compromised in some ways, specifically like gay people. Mm-hmm. There's a huge vulnerability. I mean, like, there's a big reason Jeffrey Epstein trafficked in pedophilia.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big reason why a lot of these public figures, I don't think it's a coincidence, get outed for pedophilia.
When you say marginal, you mean there's something about them that's exploitable?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so it could be an ethnic affinity. It could be a sexual eccentricity, which could be used for blackmail purposes. There's a lot of different vectors, I think, but it's almost never just like normal people.
It's never just the guy that likes peanut M&Ms. Know what I mean?
It's an M&M minis guy. Needs the tube.
It's these fucking M&M minis guys.
Needs the tube, a specific color. He's like, you got the yellow tube? And he won't buy them unless it's the yellow tube.
Strangely fits. Anyway, sorry, continue.
So I don't know the psychological profile necessarily, but needless to say, they start getting this buy-in. They receive the money. They receive the career advancement. Doors open up for that person. Maybe somewhere along the way, they understand what's happening, but they rationalize it. I've heard many different stories about how it works, but it always starts at the college level, which sort of makes sense. Because if you think about Harvard, Stanford, Yale, they are selecting for the highest IQ people, and the government wants the highest IQ people because intelligence, you know, it's sort of in the name. Also, these intelligence networks, they need to be the most technically sophisticated, operationally sophisticated. So they go, where are the smart people? They're at the elite universities. And so, you know, you might think it's sort of like when you look at Turning Point USA or, College Republicans, you might think that's kind of nothing. It's peanuts. It's dorky. It's silly. But these 18-year-old people, these 18-year-old, 19-year-old young guys who are ideologically conservative, these are the future leaders. These are the 130, 150 IQ guys that are going to be fighting the Chinese and fighting the Iranians and fighting Russian intelligence. So that's where they go for them. And it's also when they're impressionable. Mm-hmm. It's also when they're malleable. So I never understood the significance of education until I thought of these institutions as elite-making institutions. Mm. Harvard graduates the elites of the world. Yale graduates the elites of the world. So the intelligence networks want to get their pincers in those people when they're young. And then, you know, so a guy like Irving Kristol puts together this money with these other guys from the CIA, and they seed the money for conservative student newspapers. And, you know, these 19-year-old kids, they think it's funny. You know, a guy like Stephen Miller, that's how he got his start. He was writing letters to David Horowitz, who's a talk radio host, and he was a student newspaper guy doing polemical stuff, shitting on Mexicans and black people and Palestinians and the rest of it.
I was just thinking about David Portnoy.
Mm.
But sorry, go ahead.
The pizza reviews they should get into.
Yeah.
And so that's how they get groomed. And then, you know, they go from a student newspaper to a local newspaper to Fox News, and then they're a household name. Then they're the big Fox News name.
Was your point of contact, like you're sort of like the vampire that changes you, was that Cassie Dillon?
Yes.
That's literally your, she converted to Judaism afterwards.
I looked her up, by the way. She's ugly.
Is she ugly?
Yes.
She's not hot.
You could pull up a picture.
Which made me upset.
Sure.
Who said the thing about the price of a man's soul being so low?
Hmm.
It's like, it's not that everybody has a price, it's that most people's price is so low.
Ouch. Yeah.
It's also the case that the bitches they hook these guys up with are butt ugly.
That's the price.
Yeah, that's the prize. Mm. That's what they get, but they're not hot.
It was sad.
Is she genetically Jewish?
No, she converted.
Why is her face all fucked up then? Converted from what, ugly bitch? If a beat bitch came to me and texted me saying, you got to change your opinions, I'd say, bitch, get surgery. Now, Cassie Dillon, she might have great is that her appeal? I don't know how this stuff works. Is it just that the is so good it offsets the ugliness? Anyway, I don't know. Listen, I'm not trying to ruffle any feathers here. I just know this bitch is beat.
That's her.
She's good looking.
Yeah. She's cuter when she was younger.
Bitch.
Yeah, look at her there.
Some genetic.
She looks shrill, and she looks like she's ready to terrorize a man.
Wrong star on the sweatshirt there.
When you were coming up, you had hot opinions, mm-hmm. and people were looking at you and saying, this kid's hot. And you get paired up with this chick to sort of show you the ropes and kind of introduce you to the world of whatever the fuck leads to being on Fox News, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you start questioning basically Jewish stuff,
mm-hmm.
and she starts texting you stuff. You can't talk about this. We're gonna excise you from the friend group. These types of like texts to let you know that you're on dangerous ground.
Yeah, I think she tried to fuck me too. I think it was like a honeypot situation.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing she asked me when I met her is if I would ever fly to Israel. That was her. It was could not be less subtle.
Yeah, fly to Israel to fuck. That's the one key weakness. They got to get better looking bitches.
Better
over
looking
here.
Ingredients.
Better pizza. Papa John's.
She really fumbled the ball hard.
Oh,
yeah. She came out the gates, you want to go to Israel, came on real strong, and then she has to report back to whoever and be like, I think I accidentally created Nick Fuentes. Oops.
She was so ugly, she created Nick Fuentes.
Was she the only one? Did they send more? Did they, let's try this one.
I think there were more after, but it was mainly, she was the main one. And yeah, I mean, honestly, it was actually that simple. She just wasn't that hot.
It's like Charlie's Angels. If they don't get you with that one, they send a black one, then they send a Chinese one. They send a bunch of different flavors to see if they can get you.
They send Charlie in?
Well, it's Epstein is the guy.
Right.
And then the last one is they get you on the plane with the kids.
And then they become the agents. Peter Thiel, for example, he starts the Stanford Review at Stanford. And if you look, it's crazy. Stanford Review is like a who's who of defense contractors, which you wouldn't think. It's supposed to be like a polemical conservative college newspaper, but it's a who's who of drone developers, like all these people that are making weapons for the Department of Defense, like Joe Lonsdale, who then went on to work with Peter Thiel. And so Peter Thiel, he writes this book about the diversity myth in 1995. He writes a number of other publications, and then he goes on to work for the CIA full-time doing Palantir. Then he goes into a full-time intelligence defense contractor position, and now they're collecting all the data on people that criticize Israel for the government.
That Alex Karp guy, he said that his greatest fear is that the alt-right, his greatest fear is the alt-right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
Yeah, and specifically he said his greatest fear is that Christian nationalists will take power and then throw him out of a window, specifically for being Jewish.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's our guy.
What do you think about these Indians?
Not a fan. I was going to go with it as Usha Vance, J.D. Vance's wife, is Indian.
Mm-hmm.
You have like half of Twitter like hates Indians, and then they're also extremely pro-Vance, and his kids are dressed like Indians in India.
Mm-hmm.
His first son's name is Vivek, and he went to college with Vivek.
You can't write this shit.
No, it's like the Bill Barr, the Epstein thing, this shit. The segue was like Thiel to Vance to Usha and Vivek.
That sounds like one of the, what's the Upanishads? It sounds like something out of one of those ancient books.
It does have a sort of, ancient ring to it.
It's frightening to me, especially that ancient Indian stuff. That's
because modern Indian's frightening as is. You go back into the murky depths of time.
It only gets murkier.
Yeah.
From
the
here.
Anglerfish of Indian existence down there somewhere.
It doesn't get more clear. The waters get muddier the deeper you go.
Sure do.
On that one. Do you play games, Nick?
I do, yeah.
What do you play?
I'm basic. I just play like Fortnite and I play map games. I play Civ 5, Call of War.
Civ 5, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love Civilization. What society do you pick?
Oh, Rome. Rome every time.
You go with Rome every time? Mm-hmm. I go with the Uzbeks. Now, I usually look to see who has the biggest advantage and then go with that. But I think, you know what Civilization is?
Nope.
It's this game where you pick your civilization from all the civilizations that have ever existed, and you start a little like sim nation, it's a sim game.
Okay.
But the advantage is like if you pick an African, it's like you get higher birth rate. I don't think
really?
I don't think they have anything like that in there. I'm sure they're smart enough to not do that, but each civilization has an advantage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I wonder if there are any of them that are funny, like Africans with higher birth rate.
Yeah, India. India has a funny one. It's
does
like
it?
the population could be really big and unhappiness is really low.
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah, yeah,
dwell
yeah.
with like billions of people
hell
and shit
yeah.
and piss.
It's like hard mode.
They could tolerate anything. Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
People would say, that's weird that there's no Jewish option, but you as the player are because you're controlling everything.
Is there an Israeli civilization?
There isn't, no.
That would make me sick if I fired up a civilization.
If you get far enough as a Brit, you then create the state of Israel. Yeah, that's how you win the game.
It's one of the world wonders, is creating Israel.
My big thing is I'm just soaking in the failure of this administration. Every successive failure of Trump is just like, that has been my source of enjoyment for the past 5 months.
What are the failures?
The discussion about amnesty for illegal farmers.
What's his stance here on amnesty?
So, you know, last year they're promising mass deportations. That was the big tagline.
We didn't get that, right?
No. We're not getting it. They stopped publishing the figures.
Right.
They have not published one number for 6 months, which never happens. And so that was the big promise. And you know, but of course, the entire year last year, he had his fingers crossed behind his back. Whenever they pressed him, he would say, well, we're going to get the violent criminals out first. We'll worry about everybody else later. And so fast forward to now, they arrested 70,000 people, which is nothing in 5 months. And they're already saying, well, now we're going to strategically do mass deportations by not deporting anybody that works on a farm, in a restaurant, in a construction site, in a hotel, which is like all the migrant labor. They're basically throwing in the towel 5 months in.
They're just leaving the listless ones that have nothing better to do than crime and rapes.
Yeah.
At least the other ones have like, there's, I don't know, they're kind of semi-integrated. That seems like the worst idea.
It's a total joke. So people like you and me, we were part of this big wave in 2016, which Trump obviously led. He was the nucleus of it and the center of it. And I think that the energy around him started dying off realistically almost immediately after he won the election the first time. I think he's no longer funny. He got off Twitter. He's not even based anymore. You know, I think about the things that he says. There's just not one. He's pro-Jewish. He's pro-diversity, pro-black, all these different things. And so last year, you had all these people that were really not on our side back then. People like Jack Posobiec and Mike Cernovich and a lot of these other guys trying to meme him as like he's still spiritually what he was the first time. And to me, I just thought that was just a complete and total betrayal. It's like people like myself found ourselves on the outside looking in, and all those people back then who were alt-right or establishment are now the ultimate insiders in Trump world. No deportations. He bombed Iran, which at one time that was almost like synonymous with
starting World War III?
Well, and what the Jews always wanted. Like, bombing Iran was like a punchline. If you wanted to say somebody was so pro-Israel, it's ridiculous, you would say they're going to start a war with Iran. They're going to bomb Iran.
Yeah.
And then he did it.
What did he bomb?
He bombed their most fortified nuclear facility,
mm-hmm.
where they enrich uranium.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he promised no new wars. And a big reason I didn't vote for him is because I said he's going to bomb Iran. The Israelis have been pushing for years, and they're finally going to achieve it with him. You know, he gets into office and everybody says there's going to be no new wars. We're going to stay out of it. And then, of course, Israel starts the war with Iran. They bomb Iran. They do these drone strikes. They do air strikes. And all the pro-Trump people said, well, we should stay out of it. Of course, we're deeply involved. We start shooting Iran's missiles out of the sky. We start moving airplanes and aircraft carriers into the region. Then they said, well, we shouldn't get involved offensively. Then everybody starts saying, well, we should bomb Iran's nuclear program. Then they said, well, we could bomb the nuclear program, but we shouldn't do regime change. We shouldn't put boots on the ground. Then we bomb the nuclear program, and the next day, Trump is saying, we need to do regime change.
Has Trump said that?
He did. He said it the day after.
We need to do regime change?
Mm-hmm.
Can we look that up? What is Trump saying about regime change in Iran?
On True Social, the day after he bombed Iran, he said, why wouldn't we do regime change? The people hate the government. The government's failing. We should get a new government to make Iran great again.
Oh, wow.
And then everybody started saying, well, regime change might not be so bad.
It's a weird thing to declare while wearing a bow tie.
Well, no, this is MEGA. This is Make Iran Great Again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is kind of a bow tie situation.
Absolutely.
MEGA.
It's a top. Why is he not wearing a top hat?
A
maybe he is, and maybe like he's in the middle of saying something that makes it like float off his head for a second.
That's probably actually true. Yeah.
Right.
Or someone's taking a shooting at him. The hat's just pew, pew, pew.
And it didn't get shot off. It's dodging the bullets.
Yeah.
Right.
He's that good.
It's a great hat.
We bombed that nuclear facility, but didn't he bomb the entryway of it? Like, did it actually do damage?
No. He's saying that he destroyed it, but the Europeans, the Iranians, the Israelis, the United States, we all say, no, we didn't destroy it at all. And so that's kind of the next step. Is
so couldn't that be 4D chess, though, Nick?
Yes.
I don't
know. So you have the amnesty that they're discussing, bombing Iran. And then, of course, the biggest thing is the Epstein cover-up, which it's like the most obvious he published. You know, I put something on my Telegram. In 2016, a Trump tweet was like, I've never seen a thin person drinking Diet Coke. And now the tweets are like a page long. It's like, This is a tweet. It's like it's a page long. It's an essay.
You're talking about the Pam Bondi double pager?
Yes.
We'll pull that up in post. Let's pull it up right now. Let's just see what he's saying. So he's the commentary coming out of Trump with regard to Epstein. It's not punchy. It doesn't have that traditional Trump snap to it. It's in fact, it's two fucking pages long of him sort of pressing people to move on from the topic. What's going on with my boys and in some cases gals? They're all going after Attorney General Pam Bondi, who's doing a fantastic job. We're on one team, MAGA, and I don't like what's happening. We have a perfect administration, the talk of the world. For years, it's Epstein over and over again. He's bemoaning how the Epstein thing won't go away. And he's saying that it's radical left-inspired document concoction.
He's basically saying it's fake. People are, of course, Epstein was blackmailing everybody and ran a sex trafficking ring for that purpose and trafficked them for Israel. And Trump is on True Social publishing a page each day saying, hey, guys, can we all move on? Like, this isn't I definitely wasn't on that island. Like, I had nothing to do with that. And we need to just stop talking about it altogether. I don't know. It's just like he's not funny anymore. He's not based. He's kind of like wrong on all the issues. This is not the golden age we were promised. This is more like a golden shower. It's like the golden shower in the Russian hotel.
We're getting pissed on at levels that, and I have to pretend I'm happy, right? But we're getting pissed on, wow, a lot of piss.
Yeah, it's not great. Not looking too good.
The thing is, that energy's got to go somewhere, right? Like, I mean, he started all this momentum deporting people. I remember hearing people, like, just people on the left going, oh, they're sending innocent people to where was it? Friggin' Shangri-La? Where was the prison they were sending them? I'm completely off the map.
You mean El Salvador?
El Salvador. That's, yeah, Shangri-La.
Is it Cico or Kiko?
Something like that.
C-E-C-O-T, whatever their center is for bad guys.
So now everybody's mad. You got, you know, Mexicans throwing bricks at ICE vehicles and stuff. That's all the stuff I'm seeing. You can't put the genie back in the bottle, though. Mm-hmm. Like, where's all this momentum going to go?
Yeah, I don't know. I wanted him to lose so that we could elect Ye in 2024. Mm. That was kind of, or in 2028. That was kind of my big idea. I think the country is ready to reject Trump as like not radical enough. Mm.
Giga Trump.
And a true Hitler level leader can arise in him because he's sort of preventing that from happening in a way.
From holding the spot.
Right. And but this may be the best case scenario where his crash out might fuel the rise of that next person.
Hmm. Almost like Arthur Fleck inspiring the creation of the next Joker who slashes him at the end of the thing.
That's
right. He's like, you want to know how I got these scars? And he shows you how he gets the scars.
Well, yeah. One thing that's true, I think that the public, the tides are turning publicly in a way that I couldn't have imagined back during the, you know, sort of dark ages. Back then, I think there was this energy. We were looking at Trump and thinking about, we were hopeful for the future and excited for what kind of, what could come out of the Make America Great Again. But now I think that regular people are getting fed up and regular people are starting to, they don't trust science. They don't trust official narratives. I mean, that part of it is kind of exciting. And also the censorship thing, we were talking about this. It seemed like it would just get worse and worse and worse forever. But now it's like, it's good almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, basically the plan was we were all going to get wiped from the internet completely.
Yeah.
Like not even be able to have a website or a bank account.
Unpersoned.
Yeah. And then when Trump got banned from Twitter, it just went in the opposite direction. And Twitter opened up and Instagram opened up. And now it feels like Twitter is like 4chan. Mm-hmm. You know, like you see every day, it's just all racist memes, anti-Jewish memes. It, like the red pill has truly gone mainstream.
Is Twitter suffering? I feel like, do regular people, like do black people look at Twitter now and get pissed off, or are they just fine with it?
I think even the black people are racist at this point.
Well, Myron black Twitter Gaines, is its own thing.
The Fresh and Fit guy, you did that Fresh and Fit podcast. Mm-hmm. Did you do the Hodge twins?
I did, yeah.
How'd you like them?
They're great. Yeah, I saw you did their
show. I love
those
guys. I think they're awesome. Hodge twins.
Which one's better?
Which one's better?
Yeah.
The one on the left.
Old lefty. Black people getting fed up with black people, I think that happens like in the hood. And I think they also have a lot of distrust that's like valuable. They have a healthy amount of distrust, but maybe an unhealthy aim, you know? And so they wind up distrusting things like, and I just found this out, dark cola. The reason why they prefer Sprite is because they think that they put in something in the brown, in the dark soda. I just heard that.
Well, that's just like black schizophrenia now.
Correct.
That's where we're moving.
but if that was aimed properly, they'd be great allies.
We have to calibrate black schizophrenia.
Yeah.
That's the next phase in true MAGA, or T-MAGA, as I call it, is calibrating black schizophrenia.
Weaponize autism plus weaponize, yeah.
We have to do our version of starting the college newspapers. We have to fund mixtapes.
Right.
Did you see that flood in Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the thing they're talking about with the weather modification?
Yeah.
Did you watch any of that?
No.
Do you know what cloud seeding is?
I do, yeah.
So 2 days before this fatal flood, there's a company that's seeding clouds. And now the CEO, he's like a young kid, they're bringing the CEO around to explain that his technology is not what caused the floods that killed everybody. I'm glad I don't run a weather modification company after a fatal flood. Rainmaker is the company. And he's on the what's that guy's name? Sean Ryan?
Oh, yeah, the veteran.
Are you going to go on Sean Ryan?
I don't think he's going to invite me.
He's not.
Yeah, no.
I like soldiers and troop guys who, they're like the most badass. They've killed thousands of people and they've had bullets whizzing over your head. If you talk to them on camera about Israel and tried to get them to commit to any type of opinion, they would turn into like pee-pee pants, poo-poo baby man. Like the toughest guy, who's that guy, Shrek? I'll tell you, man, we were in Osama bin Laden's baseball dugout. We were in a 440 ATX. We had Razor ATVs out there. I killed everyone, and then I took their hats. Yeah. John McPhee.
Do we want to meet him or him versus Tim Kennedy?
A short of him.
What if the units are amazing?
Have you seen this guy?
Took a guy out back. No, I've never seen him. Right out back this building right now and shot him. What would you do?
If I shot up this building right now.
None of my business.
I'd blow this whole building up.
Yeah, first off, don't think I just cakewalk through it like John Wayne in some movie. I was on the worst team ever. I thought it was brilliant. I thought every minute was bright.
But can you imagine trying to get this guy to say something, anything serious about like the capture of our government by this hostile foreign actor? It's not going to happen. Sean Ryan's a badass operator. But he was interviewing the guy that did the cloud seeding. Can you pull that up? Feels like a theater show so that they don't kill the guy. Here's the reasons why if you're a Texas father who lost his daughter in the flood that I caused, here's why not to kill me.
Funding comes from the Texas Weather Modification, whatever group that you were talking about, correct?
So, note, she said geoengineering.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do geoengineering. I do weather modification, and that difference is really important.
When I saw that, the cloud seeding thing, the last time I heard anything about that was people swearing up and down and shouting to the high heavens that it's fake.
Yeah,
and that
exactly.
If you believe in it, you're a kook. And now it's just like, it's not even acknowledged that it's a thing.
Between that and the Wi-Fi watching you clip.
Let's do Wi-Fi watching you. Let's
I'm
see what that's
you.
All about.
Using your motion to detect you and your home, Wi-Fi signals to detect you and your home at no extra cost. So that's free.
So this is a free security feature that comes with your internet now, is that if you're away from home, your devices can alert you when there's motion. But I think it can also like image the room. Is that a thing that it can do?
Fun fact, SWAT teams use this to figure out where gunmen are positioned behind a door. Oh, they triggered a sort of a pattern within a hard drive, like the fan system, to produce a code that could reveal passwords or something.
Like, that's kind of interesting.
That is very interesting. That's cool.
I know they can. Each keystroke on a keyboard has a distinct signal of some sort. You can tell what somebody's typing remotely, just based on like the emissions from the keyboard. That's kind of interesting. It's crazy how language is weaponized. Your interview with Candace. I'm not going to like shit on Candace or something, but you were talking about stuff that's like, it would take fucking years to make a regular person understand the subtleties of the PSYOP and like language, like Judeo-Christian. It would take you 10 years of your own personal research to figure out what the fuck is going on when they do Judeo-Christian. So once you get it, it's like such an obvious like knife. You know what I mean? To subvert, like, they killed Christ. The name of your murderer and then your name to describe something that you, that's a system of beliefs based on you. It's like, this is your system of beliefs. First, we're going to use the name of your murderer.
Yeah, it's like Judeo-Nazi. It's like a Hitler.
Yeah, you sound like a Judeo-Nazi right now, man. I don't like that. White House press secretary takes off cross for Epstein announcement lie.
Wild if true.
Yeah, that was like a QAnon operation. You see that?
How are the QAnon guys doing these days? I haven't checked in.
I don't know how they're still going with everything that's going on, but I saw their latest theory when Trump gave a speech, I think, on 4th of July. They said the American flags didn't have yellow fringe on the sides of the flag, and that was a message to them that patriots are back in control.
Well, wasn't he wearing a yellow tie as well at some point? And I think that also was something that was like a big deal for me. When I saw the yellow tie, it was like the bat signal.
Yes.
Coming in. That's actually the video we collaborated on was QAnon inspired back in the day. You remember
that?
That's
right, yeah, Ronald
McDonald.
That was
a good-ass video.
That was.
Yeah. And that's some of that stuff snuck into the lexicon there, the Ronald McDonald code word activation stuff.
Yeah.
That's like the funniest stuff to me is that like pseudo military shit. Okay, what is she? She took her cross off?
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, when she did the press conference on they're dropping the Epstein files, she wasn't wearing a cross. Every other press conference, she has a giant cross necklace, except for this one.
And that's true. That really happened.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's real. So, I mean, maybe they're right about this one. And it's almost like saying, I can't brandish the cross when I'm telling a lie.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a distress signal. It's like an upside down flag.
Is she back to wearing it now?
I think so, yeah.
Is Pizzagate real?
I'm a big Pizzagate truther. That's what makes this so evil, because Trump was elected. Obviously, Hillary Clinton was at the center of Pizzagate. And so in many ways, Trump was elected as a repudiation of pedophile cults and blackmail rings controlling the country. And now he's at the center of covering up what is effectively the same thing, which is Jeffrey Epstein. This is the first real scandal, because you think about all the nonsense they said about him, the impeachments, the indictments, the porn star, the rape allegations, the insurrection, everything like that. But this is like the first undeniably real scandal, and one that has currency with his own supporters.
They memory hold that so quickly, I think, because it was for a normal person to believe that stuff, it's just too much of a reach, and it was too horrifying to think about if it's true. But this, the Epstein stuff, is like, even to a normal person, it's just obviously, it makes sense. Like, why wouldn't you, if you're Mossad, why wouldn't you run a blackmail ring like this? And so it's hard to see where this is going to go, this Epstein stuff, because it doesn't seem like it's going away. It seems like it's, I thought it was going to go away when we made the fucking shirt, and now it's still, that was years ago.
Mm-hmm. Didn't they release the footage and they just cut out a little bit something ridiculous, and they're like, yeah, see, look, it's all here. We got 10 hours.
They left the metadata in that shows that it was cut in Premiere Pro, our NLE of choice.
Future of politics is pure schizophrenia. That's what's going to happen.
Or not. It might not be pure schizophrenia. I think that the Epstein thing has traction, and it has traction with people who are disinterested in politics typically, and it has traction with people who aren't schizophrenic and talking about weather modification and all that shit. It has traction with like regular people.
Yeah, for a lot of people, Trump was, the only reason they liked him is because they thought that he would unveil this sort of cabal and Illuminati thing.
The deep
state.
That
they finally had a voice.
That's the whole fucking point of his presidency, right, is to take out the deep state.
Yeah, we finally have a wrench in the machine and whatever, and then it's just machine.
That was the appeal, is like, here's this guy from the outside who's going to go on the inside and turn everything upside down and blow everything up. And burying Epstein is just total opposite of that. It's like he's actually covering for them and actually recapitulating it with the people that were the angriest about it.
They released those binders, the Epstein Files Phase 1. Mm-hmm. We were looking into that. What happened to the people holding those binders? Who was that?
Was it
Cernovich?
It was Cernovich, Jack Posobiec, Scott Pressler, DC Drano.
What are those guys saying now? Like, what are they up to now?
They're all defending the president. They're all saying it's Pam Bondi's fault, it's the attorney general's fault. It doesn't get darker than this. I mean, it's a pedophile sex blackmail island that, like, the royal family was involved in, and it works for Israel. And Trump put out a memo saying, no, it's over. There's no clients. There's no black book. It's over. So I don't know how he gets past this one. I think this is going to haunt him. It's his first legitimate scandal. And what's terrifying is he's actually striking back at his own voters. He basically said in the most recent post today, he said, you know, what more could you ask for? Stop bothering me about this.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary to think, you know, this is the first time that his base has turned on him since the entire thing started 10 years ago. I don't know what this looks like.
Please, for the love of God, help me personally. Me. Help me. Go to mde.tv, make a free account. Come on already with this. I need you to make a free account. Come on! We'll be right back. We're here with Nick Fuentes. Whatever brand is sponsoring us approves of violence.
This mind-controlled computer is the latest installment of tech from Ultramind, with several key features, including one-handed design for easy use, biofeedback for optimal physiological function, Relax Plus to allow a calm and focused mind for the user, a selection of fun interactive games, Guide to the Future for visualizing distant yet achievable goals, and after a tense day, some much-needed muscular relaxation. Ultramind AD Mind Control Device is now available for a limited time price of just £429.99. Unexpected side effects of Ultramind Mind Control Device include but are not limited to acid reflux, technology-induced depression, dissociation, paralyzation, electrical paranoia, complete mind-body separation, sudden divorce of spouse,